Good morning to each of you. It's been a blessing to be here this morning. I don't feel very well prepared for what God laid on my heart to share on. So I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you so much for all you've done for us, Father. Father, we ask that you would be with me as I share what you've laid on my heart, Father. Help me to only say the things that would honor and glorify you. And we pray this on your name. Amen. So for an opening scripture, let's turn to Jeremiah 8. We'll read 18 through 22. Jeremiah 8, 18 through 22. When I would comfort myself against sorrows, my heart is faint in me. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black, astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of my daughter of my people recovered? I was reading this chapter several days ago, and this verse really, and verse 20 really stood out to me. All the verses did, but verse 20 especially stood out to me. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. These verses were wrote in a time when part of the children of Israel were in captive in Babylon already. And God had promised through Jeremiah that if the people would not rebel against Nebuchadnezzar, that he would bring the children of Israel back. Reading through Jeremiah, that's the understanding I got from these verses. And this is the cry of the people. They're asking, that are in captivity. They're asking, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. They're asking, why are we not saved? Why are we not being brought back? God has promised that we would be if the people follow. And there doesn't seem to be a following after God. And I'd like to compare these verses to our day. When we look around us, there's still many in captivity. I would like to show you why the people were still in bondage. And they had reasons for being in bondage. For not turning to God. The children of Israel, or Judah, this is more Judah, had professed to have reasons that they, you know, were doing what they were doing. And in Jeremiah 7, 5 through 11, I want to read them verses. Jeremiah. For if ye truly amend your ways and in your doings, and if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. This house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes. Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. These verses really struck me. That, you know, Judah was professing to have, you know, that they had it kind of. You know, they said in verse 10, we are delivered to do all these abominations. And in this day, most professing Christians don't call their sin abominations. And they exchange the word delivered for grace. And it's sad what a lot of the professing Christian world is doing. My question today, this has just been what God has been doing in my heart. The places of need in my life. This is what God has been doing in my life. On how do I look at them, and do I look at them as sin, and do I make excuses for myself? Is my question today, and it's something God's been working on in my life. It's easy for me to excuse my small faults, as I look at them as small a lot of times, but how small are they sometimes? The people in chapter 8, verse 20, were still in bondage. That's an example of what happens when we try to justify wrongdoings. You know, if Judah had been seen where they were at and had not tried to justify their sin and had turned to God, there would have not been captivity in Babylon still. These people could have came, there's verses in Jeremiah where he prophesies about them being able to return if they follow God and humble themselves. But that they were not able to, because the children of Judah did not, and the captives were not brought back. And the example I thought of, and I'm not going to read everything that's connected to it, is just an example of, it's Joab, David's. Joab was David's general, while Judah was fighting Israel. Saul's son was king. Saul's son Ish-bosheth was king. Abner, the general of Israel, killed Joab's brother Ashiel in battle. And later on, Joab killed Abner in revenge. He justified himself that Abner had killed Ashiel. In First Kings verse 2:5, David instructs Solomon, his son, not to let Joab die in peace. And the reason for that being because of him slaying somebody that was innocent, Joab justified himself and didn't repent. And later in verses 31 through 33, I'll read them. And the king said unto him, do as he hath said, and fall upon him. Joab had caught hold of the horns of the altar when Amnon had tried to take the kingdom from Solomon. And Joab had been part of that conspiracy, and so he had fled to the tabernacle and got a hold of the horns of the altar as kind of like it was a safe place in general. And the king said, "Do as he has said, and fall upon him and bury him, that thou mayest take away the innocent blood which Joab shed from me and from the house of my father. And the Lord shall return his blood upon his own head, who fell upon two men more righteous and better than he, and slew them with the sword. My father David, not knowing thereof, to wit, Abner the son of Ner, captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa the son of Jether, captain of the host of Judah. Their blood shall therefore return upon the head of Joab, and upon the head of his seed forever. But upon David, and upon his seed, and upon the house, and upon his throne, shall there be peace forever from the Lord." And Joab paid a price for his sin. I believe if Joab would have repented from his sin and changed, he could have saved himself a lot of heartache in the end. It's a natural human tendency to do that. We as humans are always justifying ourselves for what we do. In Jeremiah, the consequences of the people's sin was the captives were not freed to return to Judah. And my question is, you know, in my life, what am I doing? When I sin, or when I am not willing to change, it hinders me, but it also affects the people around me. And that's what God's been doing in my life this week. What am I doing in my life that is negatively affecting the people around me? There's many examples in God's Word of people who paid a dear price for their sin and for not turning away from it and for not and continuing in it. I just want to encourage us to simply look at ourselves in our own lives and I realize that in my life I can get angry or something, and I justify myself, and there's no justification for sin. As far as I cannot justify, there's no justifying sin ever. There's never a good time to do wrong. That's all I have. I just want to encourage us to look at our lives I see a need in my life that I can grow, and I need to be open with God where I'm at. And I just want to encourage us all to do that as well. Thank you.